for his tax affairs. An investigation by Sunak's ethics advisor concluded that Zahawi had broken the rules by repeatedly failing to declare an HMRC probe into his tax affairs. The dispute concluded with a £5 million settlement, including a penalty. But on Sunday, Sunak sent a letter to Zahawi saying his ethics advisor had concluded there was, quote, a serious breach of the ministerial code. In the letter, Sunak also announced his removal from the post. The dismissal came as Sunak was under fire himself for initially standing by Zahawi before ordering an internal investigation. But the premier defended his stance, arguing that integrity in politics was the reason he did not sack the Tory chairman in time.
I think that's the right thing to do, to ensure that we have integrity in politics, but to do that in a professional way, that's what we're doing.
But many Britons remain unsatisfied with Sunak's handling of the issue. They reason out that the Prime Minister, who acted within hours over his advisor's report, should have sacked Zahawi earlier.
Well, Nadeem Zahawi obviously should be thinking about his future, but I think the bigger question here is why the Prime Minister didn't act earlier, what he knew about this situation, and why he seems to be continuously putting the interests of his party above those of his country. He knew there were allegations about Zahawi for a long time. He then knew that Zahawi had been negotiating a deal with HMRC at the same time as he was in charge of HMRC as the Chancellor. So I think the biggest question today isn't actually for Zahawi, it's actually for the Prime Minister.
Sunak also faces scrutiny over whether he knew about the minister's tax affairs and when he was told there could be a reputational risk to the government after Zahawi's appointment in October. Now many, including former high-ranking officials, suggest that Sunak's premiership risks being brought down by scandals swirling around the Tories. One such is a high-stakes parliamentary inquiry into whether Sunak's predecessor Boris Johnson misled lawmakers over Partygate. The sacking of Nadeem Zahawi comes as Sunak's government facing decades-high inflation and a wave of public sector strike while trailing badly in opinion polls ahead of an expected 2024 election. To many, the tax evasion of Zahawi has not come as a surprise. But for a prime minister who promised accountability, professionalism and integrity while taking office, this is just a disgrace. But what happens when governments, especially in so-called first-world countries, are submerged in corruption? Many argue that politics in those countries are too chaotic to the point where things get out of hand, like what happened in the case of Zahawi. So the ironic situation is when a man briefly in charge of the treasury does not pay taxes himself while insisting that others must pay. Apart from that, the UK is already grappling with a cost of living crisis which has been unprecedented in a century. This, coupled with the skyrocketing inflation, have so far prompted hundreds of thousands of workers from various sectors, including railway, postal, dock, energy and medical, to stage walkouts over pay and working conditions. While workers' union accuse the government of inaction and call for talks to resolve the disputes, workers want their pay in line with the inflation that is currently at the level of nearly 11%. The UK is also facing rampant food and energy costs. Some even struggle to make ends meet or even afford to put food on the table.
There's people around here who can't afford to put clothes on their kids' backs or food on their table, and that he has mistakenly missed an error.
Charities are stocking up duvets, sleeping bags, hot water bottles and blankets because they know that people can't afford to heat their homes anymore. That puts in the spotlight the number of governments which one after another took the helm at number 10 and attempted to resolve the cost of living crisis, but to no avail. The much bigger question is that how can the Sunak government run the country when it is unable to cope with this and other crises happening over there?
Come on. The very first revolution that started with the people, continued with the people, did not change its word, did not change its way, did not decrease or increase its goals, is the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei.
Defense Secretary Ben Wallace has told the Sky News that the British Army has fallen behind its peer group and needs investment. It comes after Sky News revealed a U.S. general privately told Wallace that the U.K.'s armed forces are no longer regarded as a top-level fighting force. Defense sources revealed the U.S. general said this decline in war fighting capability needed to be reversed faster than planned in the wake of Russia's special operation in Ukraine. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, a senior U.S. military official confidentially told British Defense Secretary Ben Wallace that the U.K.'s armed forces are no longer on par with those of the leading world powers, Sky News claims. The broadcaster, citing anonymous defense sources, said that years of cost-cutting measures by successive governments have made the country's military a hollow force. The report, which came out recently, alleges that the unnamed American general had a frank conversation with Wallace and several other British officials last fall. The conclusion of the U.S. general regarding the U.K.'s fighting capabilities was unsettling for London. You haven't got it, Tire 1, it's Burley Tire 2. According to Sky News, the general classed the armed forces of the U.S., China, Russia, and France as Tier 1 powers, with Germany and Italy representing Tier 2 armies. Several unnamed British defense sources confirmed to the broadcaster that the nation's military is currently in a sorry state. One official was quoted as saying, "It's an entire service unable to protect the UK and our allies for a decade." The UK military would reportedly run out of ammunition in a few days if a conflict broke out. Moreover, the armed forces would likely be unable to defend the skies against the level of missile and drone strikes currently seen in Ukraine, the broadcaster claimed. The report said that 10 Downing Street has repeatedly cut the defense budget following the end of Cold War, leaving the British Army with hardware that is at least 30 years old and in dire need of replacement. London's active role in supplying Ukraine with weapons over the past 11 months has further diluted its own fighting capabilities, the news outlet said. Another major issue highlighted by anonymous defense sources is chronic staffing shortages. With only 76,000 personnel, the British Armed Forces are less than half the size they were in 1990, the Sky News claims. However, according to the government's plans, the military will shed 3,000 more troops down the road, while new weaponry is not expected to be procured for a few years, the report notes. Earlier, Conservative Defense Committee Chairman Tobias Elwood, according to Sky News, said people should be very concerned about the armed forces' current capabilities. Sky News said the senior Tory called on the government to reverse swathing cuts to the army because its equipment has become obsolete. Mr. Elwood said there had been huge investments into the Royal Navy and Royal Air Force in recent years, but added the army is in a dire state. He continued, "Our army is simply too small. We have cut down by 10,000 troops." France and Germany have announced plans to boost defense spending significantly. Prime Minister Sunak has yet to make any meaningful pledge to expand his defense coffers, instead pursuing a refresh of a review of defense policy that is due to be published on March 7th, ahead of a spring budget that will signal whether there is any new money for the military. The crisis in defense has been a generation in the making following repeated reductions in the size of the three armed services since the end of the Cold War by successive Conservative, Coalition and Labour governments to save money for peacetime priorities. In 2020, Boris Johnson, as Prime Minister of the UK, increased defence spending by £16 billion, the biggest uplift since the Cold War, but not enough to plug the gaps. Sunak has so far resisted calls to follow his predecessor, Liz Truss, to lift defence spending to 3% of GDP by 2030, up from just over 2% at present.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
متاسفانه Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We've failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it. Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
Yeah.
trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear. But I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children
vanishing. The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold of you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to drought and lack of water.
Yes.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own Western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up, and I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش‌بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
در جامعه جهانی باید با این ادبیات بیشتر خودمون رو مانوس بکنیم و براش تدبیر بیندیشیم.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. One multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The one turned into 1,000. Two multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. Three multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
shivering, and I feel nauseous. My children, the economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criterion the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Islamic Revolution and Economic Achievements. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, these days mark the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. If you remember, in the previous episode, we talked about the economic achievements in Iran after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in comparison with such achievements during the Shah's regime. Today, we are going to continue the issue and present you some other aspects of Iran's economic successes during the past four decades. Stay tuned, please. Among Iran's economic activities, which are among strategic policies of the country, mention should be made of knowledge-based economy. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, in his speeches, has several times referred to Imam Ali's statement that knowledge is the source of dominance. Ayatollah Khamenei has thus reminded the officials the high status of various sciences and the importance of investment in different fields of sciences. He says, "We need to make progress scientifically. This is our definite need. If we do not make progress scientifically, the threats of our civilizational enemies and our cultural and political enemies will be there forever. The threat will be stopped, or it will be less dangerous when we make progress scientifically. Today, true power belongs to those nations which enjoy modern technologies and gains access to breakthroughs in various sciences. In view of this, the leader has time and again stressed the knowledge-based economy in order to cause creativity, enhance productivity and efficiency of different economic fields. Iran enjoys a young and educated manpower that has high capacity in application of sciences in the direction of the country's economic advancement. Therefore, any investment on knowledge-based economy should be considered as one of the important achievements of the Islamic Revolution. This kind of economy is based on innovation, research, and development. For less than a decade, the Islamic Republic has managed to enhance its ranking in terms of innovation from 120 to 60. Over 7,000 knowledge-based and 1,600 innovative firms have been registered in Iran. These firms are presenting their products and services to the society and industries in technological domains such as biology, agriculture and food industries, chemistry, machinery and advanced equipment, medical equipment and apparatuses, power and electronics, IT and computer software, etc. Iran has made great breakthroughs for the past 20 years in the field of medical equipment. Thus, the Islamic Republic has become self-sufficient in many products. More than 3,500 companies and 248 knowledge-based firms are working in the field of medical equipment. Skillful specialists have successfully taken some of the medical apparatuses out of the monopoly of a few global corporations. For instance, we can mention unique achievements in the industry of medical equipment during the coronavirus pandemic, while many countries were grappling with shortage of such equipment and even consumer items such as face masks and gloves. Iranian producers ably overcame illegal sanctions and even reached the stage of export of such items. Currently, Iranian medical equipment and products are exported to more than 50 countries. Moreover, the existence of many specialists in various medical fields, coupled with highly advanced medical centers and also reasonable expenses, have persuaded hundreds of thousands of patients from different countries to travel to Iran for treatment. Dear listeners, knowledge-based companies can be seen in other economic domains too. Agriculture, for example, makes use of modern technologies to feed apartment plants and drones to survey agricultural parasites. There are 298 active knowledge-based companies in agriculture, biotechnology, and food industries in the country. These companies both secure the domestic market and export the extra products. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, data for 2020, Iran had the 3rd to 19th global ranking in the important agricultural products. As in the field of industry and mines, Iran was basically dependent before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. But today, many kinds of machinery and parts needed in the field of industry and mines are manufactured by young experts. Industrial townships have increased considerably after the revolution. Before the revolution, there were only two industrial townships with urban facilities, water, electricity, and natural gas and telephone. This has increased to nearly 600 now. As for food and drink industries, there were 719 big industries in 1977. while the number has reached to more than 2,700. In the field of textile, clothing and leather industries, we have witnessed the doubling of production centers after the revolution. The paper and publication industries enjoyed only 166 active firms during the Shah's regime, while this has increased to 500. Furthermore, there are many factories manufacturing home appliances, cars, and affiliated products. As for mines and mineral industries, there were less than 200 active mines in Iran before the Islamic Revolution. But this has surged to 10,000 today. 60% of Iran's mineral reserves can be produced for construction materials, and others are metal and non-metal ores. To give a better picture in the field, let us focus on two strategic products, namely steel and cement. Iran produced 6.9 million tons of steel in the first quarter of 2022 to stand among 10 steel-producing countries in the world. Today, there are nearly 100 steel factories in Iran. Cement is another product whose consumption has highly increased for the past years. Iran is now capable of producing 27 types of gray, mason, and colored cements. Iran was among the 8 top producers of cement in the world in 2021. There are approximately 80 factories working in the field in the country. The product both secures the domestic market and is exported to regional and neighboring nations like Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Kuwait, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan. Satellites play a very important role in the growth and development of countries. Satellites used to be used mainly for security purposes, while today they are viewed as the tools to help in economic and developmental areas. The images and data transmitted by satellites have great usages, including telecommunication, navigation, natural disasters forecast, exploration of mines, weather and climate monitoring, surveillance of forests, pastures, and oceans. Iranian knowledge-based companies are active in planning and manufacturing of satellite reception and dispatching stations. The last but not the least achievement in this sphere was the launching of satellite carrier Qaem-100, which was put into the orbit by the experts of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, Aerospace Force, on November 4, 2022. This satellite carrier has plans to put Nahid-1 satellite into orbit. Nahid-1 is a telecommunications satellite made by Iran's Space Research Center.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Enemies engineered Iran's unrest meticulously, but failed due to wrong calculations. This is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with a number of
eulogists, and religious poets in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on January 12, 2023. The meeting took place one day before the anniversary of the birth of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Aliha. I've written down a poem by Sa'ib Tabrizi so that I can read it for you. He said, "Even if you tell me you shall not see me, I'll not despair like Moses did. When Allah turned to Prophet Moses and said, 'You shall not see me,' Prophet Moses let it go. But in this poem, he says, 'I will not despair.' Even if you tell me you shall not see me, I'll not despair like Moses did. I know the sweet language of my love." Nice poem, but it's incorrect. He's implying that the Almighty God, God's divine being, is being coy when he says, "You shall not see me." No, "shall not see me" means you shall not see me. God doesn't exaggerate when he says something. The poem is very beautiful, but the meaning is incorrect. So we have two things here. One is good poem and the other is good meaning, good content. You need to keep all of this in mind. Having said that, I believe we have been holding these kinds of meetings for 40 years now. And when I look at these now, compared to previous years, the work that is being done is much more advanced and better in terms of the types of elegies and poetry that is recited. There is no doubt about this.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
However, I'd like to draw your attention to some matters. While this is a form of hybrid art, what you are doing is a form of hybrid art, and art is beauty. We know this from our religious text. Our religious text, including the Quran, Nahjul Balagha, Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah, and many of our supplications. Regarding the Holy Quran, Imam Ali alayhi salam states, "It has a wonderful appearance." Wonderful does not imply that it is just beautiful. It is stunningly beautiful. It has a wonderful appearance. That is how the Quran is. It is second to none in terms of its beauty and art. Almost all of the best Arabic poems, the sweetest and most beautiful and eloquent Arabic poems, belong to the age of ignorance. Those poets were alive when the Quran was revealed. But none of them were able to find even a minute fault in the Quran or say that they could recite anything similar to it.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me. Through all my years, I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
IRIB English Radio. visit us at parstoday.ir/en. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with the reporters.
The 53rd exhibition of Iran's nuclear industry achievements was inaugurated in Tehran on Thursday. The event showcases the latest nuclear products made in Iran. Attended by head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, the expo put on display different applications of the nuclear sector, from centrifuges to radiopharmaceuticals and particle accelerators.
Despite all external pressures, we have managed to advance our nuclear sector, and this expo shows a small part of it. Today, we become self-sufficient in nuclear fuel, radiomedicine, and many other fields such as heavy water.
In recent years, Iran has been trying to diversify the applications of its nuclear sector. Besides power generation, the country is now focusing on particle accelerators for food irradiation and radiotherapy.
Irradiation systems are being built in Iran on a national scale. This will allow the country to irradiate all its food and agricultural products. This way, we can reduce food waste, ensure food security for our people, and enhance our agricultural exports.
Since Iran indigenized its nuclear industry in 2006, it has constantly been targeted by sanctions over what the West calls fears of a nuclear bomb, something which Tehran categorically rejects, saying its nuclear program is civilian and peaceful.
As you know, the West has long been leading a psychological campaign against Iran's nuclear activity, accusing Iran of pursuing non-peaceful purposes. So we hold this exhibition for our people to see for themselves that our nuclear program is peaceful.
Following the U.S. withdrawal from the 2015 deal and reinstatement of sanctions against Tehran in 2018, Iran took retaliatory steps by scaling back its commitments to the pact. The Vienna discussions between Iran and the remaining parties to the 2015 deal, which aimed to revive the accord, have remained stalled since August last year. This, as Tehran says, it will come back to full compliance only if Washington removes all its sanctions.
By displaying these nuclear products, Iran tries to show the West that sanctions cannot disrupt its nuclear program. At the same time, the AEOI says it will continue to build the country's nuclear industry even beyond the JCPOA limits, if sanctions are not removed. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Black Lives Matter. This is a popular slogan we often come across in the streets of the United States following the fatal shooting and beating to death of African Americans there. That began with the racially motivated killing of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, among others. Anger and shock once again prevail as American protesters march in cities to denounce police brutalities and demand justice for another victim, 29-year-old Tyre Nichols. The man was beaten to death by a group of officers in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, after he was stopped for a traffic violation in early January. Nichols was in confusion as to why he had been stopped, but before he could know, the cops started kicking, punching, and pepper spraying him while he was